John?
And while they're doing that, if the usher would come and pass out the Sunday school sheets this morning. The book of 1 John. In 1 John, we'll begin reading in chapter 1 with verse 1. And just follow along with me if you would. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit used John, the Apostle John, to write actually five different books. Well, we've grouped these into three different works. Of course, we've already studied the Gospel of John that was written by John the Apostle, the beloved of Jesus. And that's the first book that he wrote. Then he also wrote these three epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, all written by the author of the Gospel of John. And then the third work that he wrote, or the fifth book that he wrote, was the book of Revelation. That also was written by the Apostle John. If you'll notice, these three works actually give us a full picture of the Christian life. For instance, the Gospel of John, John said, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may believe on the Son of God." So the Gospel of John was written actually for past history, showing that Christ died for us. That's basically what the Gospel of John is about. Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died for us. So we see the past part of the Christian life. What has taken place in the past? Christ died for our sins. Now in the epistles of John, we see actually present experience. Christ died for us. Now those that are saved, Christ lives in us. And that's what we see now in these epistles. And over the next 3 weeks, we'll study each of these three epistles of John. So, the Gospel of John, Christ, what? Died for us. Now, in the epistles of John, the present experience, Christ, what? Lives in us. And then he wrote the book of Revelation. That's future hope. The book of Revelation tells of the things yet in the future and tells how Christ will come for us, or Christ comes for us. So that's basically the three experiences of the Christian life, or basically the Christian life is all wrapped up in those three works of John. First of all, the past history, that Jesus died for us. Then present experience, that Christ lives in us. And then future hope, that Christ will come for us, or Christ comes for us. And that's basically the Christian life wrapped up in these works that are written, of course, by the Holy Spirit, and the author of it, and written down by the Apostle John. Well, let's look at some of the epistle purposes then of this epistle. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." So he says, these things we're writing to you for this purpose. First purpose is this, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the first reason, he said, now there's several reasons why I'm going to write this first epistle of John. The first epistle of John was written basically to Christians. It's another one of those that are called general epistles. The epistles that we've studied prior to the general epistles were all written to a person or to a particular church, but these are all just basically written to Christians. Now, we saw a couple of them were written to the dispersed Jews, but basically to Christians in general. So these are called the general epistles. They're not necessarily written to a particular person. So these general epistles, they're written to Christians. First of all, he says, now there's five reasons why I'm writing this epistle to you. First of all, that ye also may have fellowship. So first reason is that we might have fellowship. If you study the gospel or study the epistle of 1 John, you'll learn how to have fellowship. The reason that God made us, somewhere in eternity past, God said, I want somebody to fellowship with. I want somebody that I can walk with, who I can talk with, and who can talk with me and walk with me. And then God decided to make man after his image, that man could fellowship with God. That's your purpose and my purpose, basically, is fellowship with God. Now, we are to bring glory to God, that's our overall purpose, but God created us to fellowship with him, to talk with him, to walk with him, to have fellowship with him. What happened was that sin broke that fellowship with God. The being that God created to fellowship with him now could not fellowship with God because God could not fellowship with sin. So the reason that you and I were created to fellowship with God, that fellowship had been broken and taken away. Now we see that through the death of Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with God. If you remember back several months ago when we studied the book of Leviticus, the theme of the book of Leviticus is fellowship with God. And we saw the first part of that book of Leviticus showed the ground of fellowship, sacrifice. It was through Jesus' sacrifice that we now can fellowship with Holy God. Sinful man can fellowship with a Holy God because of the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites the fire out of me, that I, sinful man, can fellowship with Holy God, that the God of the universe will actually talk to me. I'm nobody, but God has made me somebody in Jesus Christ. There should be no reason in the world why a sorry human being would ever be able to talk with the God of heaven and then have that God of heaven talk with us. I know it does it, because I just talked with him today, and he talked with me. I know he fellowships with man. I talked with him many times this week, and many times this week, the God of heaven talked with me. I can share experiences with you right now of just the past week, what God has told me and talked with me about, and I've talked with him about. We can have fellowship with the God of heaven. That's what he's saying here. First of all, he says, I'm writing this so you can know how to fellowship with God. Now, being a Christian doesn't make you automatically in fellowship with him. But this book right here will tell you how you can fellowship with him. So that's the first thing. He said, I want you to know how you can fellowship with God. Secondly, now he said, when you got saved, you automatically have fellowship with him, but you don't have fellowship with him forever because you're saved. Salvation gives you opportunity to fellowship with him. Whether you fellowship with him or not depends on some tests that are found in the book of 1 John to determine our fellowship with God. Whether we truly have fellowship with God or not, or whether we have a false fellowship. Many Christians say they have fellowship with God, but do they have fellowship with God based upon the Word of God? You can find out in the book of 1 John. Secondly, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, these things write we unto you. Here's the second reason, that your joy may be full. By the way, that ties in with the fellowship with God also. So he says, first of all, now I'm writing to you Christians, first of all, because it's very important that you know how to fellowship with God and how you can maintain that fellowship. Sinful man can maintain fellowship with a holy God. He said, I'm going to write this to you so you can know how to. And then he says, secondly, I'm going to write to you so that you can have joy. And not just joy, but that your joy may be full. So I want you to have fullness of joy. If you remember a few weeks ago, we preached a series on the fullness of joy. How to have fullness of joy in the Christian life. So many Christians are, we had a lady here that was coming to church here a couple weeks ago. She says, I'm looking for something more. What she's looking for is soul winning, and she just didn't know it. She ended up in some tongue-speaking church. But what she was looking for was soul winning. If she would have just gone soul winning, she would have had full joy. But she was looking for something more. Something more than giving up sin, getting people saved. Isn't that something? Everybody's looking for something more than giving up their sin and getting people saved. If you can learn to give up your sin and get folks saved, you won't be looking for anything else. You'll have so much joy you won't know what to do with it. You can learn how to give up your sin and how to get folks saved, you'll have joy. He says, I'm writing to you so you can have fullness of joy. Not just the joy the world's looking for, but I'll give you the fullness of joy that only God can give. Here's the third reason. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. Here's the third reason, that we sin not. Okay, every one of these things tie in together. All these purposes all fit in together. We'll learn, if we can learn these five things right here that he says in the book of 1 John, that we'll have a good, fruitful Christian life. First of all, that might have fellowship. How we can fellowship with God and with Jesus. That your joy may be full. How we can have fullness of joy. Then thirdly, that ye sin not. And he says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, thirdly, that ye sin not. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we could learn how not to sin? That'd be great, wouldn't it? And there's one thing that keeps us back from the blessings of God, it's sin in our life. And he says, I'm writing this to you to teach you how not to sin, so that you don't have sin in your life that breaks that fellowship and takes away that joy. Thirdly, chapter 2, verse 26, or fourthly, chapter 2, verse 26, here's the fourth reason now why he wrote 1 John. So these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Look back in verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And so he says, I write this to you concerning those that seduce you. What he's talking about is the false prophets and false teachers. He said, now you've had the truth that's been taught to you from the beginning. Now there are those that have come in and tried to seduce you from the truth, to try to get you into falsity, into lies. He said, there is no lie that is the truth. No lie is of the truth. So what you need to do is you need to know the truth, but realize that there are antichrists out there. There are those that are against the truth. There are those that will try to get you from the truth. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me that when we have the truth, how many people are not satisfied with the truth. Isn't that something? We've got the truth, but people want something more than the truth. They've got to have something more than what God says. We ought to be just satisfied with the truth. So just the same things that you've been taught from the beginning. Isn't it amazing how many times the Bible says, just keep doing the same things? Amazing. So the same thing that you were taught from the beginning. Preacher, give me something new. I'll give you something new. The New Testament. Just stick with the Bible. The Word of God. That's what we need is the truth. So he says, I'm writing this to warn you about the false teachers. That's the fourth reason for the book of 1 John. Then look in chapter 5, verse 13. I'm glad that building built solid. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here's the fifth reason then, that ye might have assurance of our salvation. There's so many people that don't have that assurance of salvation. Most of the people I talk to, I say, do you know for sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven? They'll say, well, I hope so. Just talked to a lady just last week. I said, are you saved? She said, well, I hope I am. And I said, well, I hope you are too. I hope everybody is. But the truth of the matter, and that's what I told her, I said, I hope everybody is. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people that aren't. And hoping won't get you saved. Hoping won't get anybody there. We ought to know that we have eternal life. And that's what the Bible says right here. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Bible, or 1 John, is written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You don't have to have a hope-so salvation. You can have a no-so salvation. You don't need to have a think-so salvation. You can have a no-so salvation. 1 John says that ye may know. Now think of this. Wouldn't it be good if you could know how to have fellowship with God? Wouldn't that be something? If you could know, if you knew that when you talked with God, that God heard you, and you knew that God would answer your prayers, and God would talk with you, and that the spirit that you were listening to was God, that'd be good to know that you had fellowship with God. Think of what that could do. I mean, if you had fellowship with God, all the trials in the world couldn't harm you. Anything that came into this life couldn't hurt you. If you had fellowship with God, you'd never be discouraged. That's something. Who'd be discouraged if they were talking with God? If they were fellowshiping with Him? It'd take care of every problem in your life. That wouldn't take the problems away, but it'd make the problems so you didn't worry about them anymore. If you knew, think of this, how important it is that we fellowship with God. If I talked to God this morning, and God told me that I was in His will, then that means anything that happens to me today, I don't need to worry about it, because God's in control. Isn't that something? You know how many times we worry about things? We get upset about things, and this and that, and this happened in our life, and that happened in our life. And we start wondering and doubting and saying, man, I wonder if, you know, God's still in control, or if God loves me. We worry about everything under the sun, don't we? But if I knew that I was in the will of God, and that God was in control, would I worry about any of the trials that came in my life? Of course not. Because you know that if you're in the will of God, that everything's going to work out for good. To them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose, His will. So if I'm in the will of God, anything that happens to me is going to turn out good. Anything. It's all going to turn out good. So why worry about it? So maintaining fellowship with God would be very important. Secondly, He's going to tell, wouldn't it be good to know how you could have fullness of joy? The fullness of joy. Wouldn't that be good? And who wouldn't want to know that? 1 John tells you how to. Wouldn't it be good if we knew how to sin not? Wouldn't that be good? One thing that causes more grief than anything else in the world is sin. Sin causes death. Wouldn't it be good if we could learn in our lives how to sin not? And I'm not talking about sinless perfection right now. I'm talking about not having sin and having our sins taken care of in our life. How we can sin not? And then it says, how to warn against false teachers. Wouldn't it be good to know that we were never following a lie? That we always had the truth. Always. Everything. We always knew the lie, the truth. When we heard something, we always knew the truth. Wouldn't that be good? That would be worth $1 million. Keep us from messing up and following a lie. So many people are deceived today. By the way, there's more people deceived today than there are following the truth. There's more people that are deceived. There's few people that have the truth, and most people are deceived. If you've got the truth, you're very fortunate. What we need to do is we need to know how to tell the difference between the false and the true. How to know the truth. How to keep from following a lie. And then, fifthly, that we may know that we have eternal life, that we might have assurance. Well, that'd be worth a lot, wouldn't it? How many times people worry whether they're going to heaven or hell, and they just don't know, and they're just doing the best they can, and just hoping that one day maybe God's face will shine upon them and say you can go into heaven. I mean, they're doing everything in the world. They're praying prayers. They're burning candles. They're doing everything in the world to try to gain favor with a righteous God. But wouldn't it be good if you could know that you're going to heaven, have that assurance? Those five things right there, that'd be a bestseller, wouldn't it? Well, John put all those things down there in one five-chapter book called the Book of 1 John and tells us how we can know those five things right there. Matter of fact, the key word of the Book of 1 John is the word know, K-N-O-W, know. It's found at least 35 times in those five chapters. Isn't that something? The word know is found over 35 times in those five chapters. That means there's a lot of things that John wants us to know, God wants us to know. 35 things he wants us to know just in those five chapters right there. That means that we can know how to have fellowship with God, that we can know how to have fullness of joy, we can know how to sin not, know what a false teacher is, that we may know that we have eternal life. All those things we can know. And that's what the book of 1 John is. It's a book of knowledge, of knowing some things. There are two basic thoughts in the book. We can divide, actually there are several thoughts. It's a hard book to divide up in because these thoughts run continually through the book. Exciting book to read and to study and to learn and to see these truths. And we're not going to have time today to go over all these five things and how you can know them. But you can read the book of 1 John your own and start looking for those things. Look on how to have fellowship. Look on how to have assurance. Look up how to have fullness of joy. Just read the verses in there. But there are basically two major thoughts that I've divided the book into. And that first one is 1 John chapter 1. Up through 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Basically, the key verses there are found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. So that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John said, I want you to be able to have fellowship with us, as we have fellowship with God, and therefore you can have fellowship with God and maintain that fellowship with Him. So the first thing is fellowship. That's Roman numeral 1, fellowship. And 1 John chapters 1 and 2, up through verse 28, we can find the test of true fellowship with God. We can know how we can have fellowship with Him. And so that's one of the key thoughts, is fellowship, and that's Roman numeral 1, fellowship with God. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the thought there is on fellowship, how we can have fellowship. The second thought, beginning with chapter 2, verse 29, is this. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Notice those words there, born of Him. What that means is being born again, born spiritually. So he's going to talk now in these next few verses about being born of God. Look in chapter 3, verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. See, the Bible talks about being born of God. Look in chapter 4, verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Tells again a way that we can know that we're born of God. By the way, these verses right here I'm showing you, there's some tests that you can take to determine whether you're saved or not. Bible tests. Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Here's some Bible tests. Here's how you can know whether you're saved or not. How you can know whether you're born of God. Look in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth also him that is begotten of Him. There's another test. Being born of God. Chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So those are some verses that talk about being born of God. So we can divide the book up basically into two parts. There's other strands that run back and forth through the book. But basically, if you'll read chapters 1 and 2, you can find the test of fellowship with God. You can find basically how to have fellowship with God. And then we see the second theme is being born of God. We call that sonship, being born of God. So, the key word is the word know, found over 35 times in the book of 1 John. The key thoughts in the book are fellowship and then being born of God. Therefore, that's the emphasis found in the book. The emphasis is this: you can know how to have fellowship with God and how to be born of God, or that you are born of God. So there's five basic purposes, several things that you can find out, but basically, to divide the book up, we can divide it up into fellowship and then being born of God. These other things are found throughout the book also: having fullness of joy, false teachers, having assurance of salvation, how that we may sin not. And so those things are found throughout the book of 1 John. So let's outline the book then. The first part is fellowship. That's 1 John 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 28. If you'll take the time, you can read through that and know how to have fellowship with God, or know that you do have the true fellowship with God. That's basically what's found in those verses there. How we may know that we have fellowship with God. That's the first section of the book. The second section, then, is sonship, being born of God. So 1 John tells us how we may know that we're born of God in this second section, sonship. And we've looked up, well, I guess, there are six verses there that tell us about being born of God, or seven times it says being born of God. So we can know that we have sonship and that we have fellowship. And that's important. Now think of this, basically. When we get sonship, we get fellowship. That comes with it, because here's what happens. The minute that I realize that I was a sinner, that I did not have fellowship with God. See, many people today that are not saved believe they have fellowship with God. As a matter of fact, many people that are not saved believe that they are saved. But that belief is not based upon this book right here. Their belief is based upon something they've done. Some people are basing it upon their baptism. Some people are basing it upon their communion. Some people are basing it upon the prayers they've prayed. So many people say, well, I'm saved because one day I prayed a prayer. Or I'm saved because one day I walked an aisle. Or I'm saved because one day I was baptized. Or I'm saved because I'm a member of this certain church. Or I'm saved because of my confirmation. And they think they're saved, but you can only have a no-soul salvation based upon the Word of God. When we were created to fellowship with God. Man broke that fellowship with God. So now, Jesus Christ, when He died upon the cross, died for our sins, which broke the fellowship with Him. So that sin, then, was taken from us and was placed upon Jesus Christ when He died upon the cross. Our sins were taken off of us and placed upon Jesus. Jesus' righteousness was taken from Him and placed upon us. Now God can talk with man because now man has the righteousness of Jesus through Jesus Christ. We can have fellowship with God. Getting saved immediately opens up fellowship with God. All your sins are justified at that time. But that word justified means it's just as if you've never sinned. So that's sanctification, positional sanctification. That means you are sanctified, perfect before God as far as eternity is concerned. Immediately when you got saved, sanctification took place, justification took place in your life, propitiation, regeneration. All those things took place the moment you got saved. And you immediately had fellowship with God. And the God of heaven now could fellowship with you because your sins have been removed, placed upon Jesus. Now you have fellowship with Him because you're right with God and have a right standing with God. That's salvation. Now you can never go to hell. Now you're going to heaven because your sins have been taken from you. You've been justified. Now what a person needs to do after they get saved is they need to get forgiven. When you got saved, you got justified. Now I know we call it being forgiven. And I don't think God gets mad at us because we're a little bit off on our terminology. But that would be, we do get forgiven, but we get more than forgiven. We get justified before God. All of our sins are taken from us completely, past, present, and future, for all of eternity. So we have a right standing before God. But now we have a choice. We can choose to sin. The Bible says that a person that's saved will not continue in sin. A person that's saved will not make a habit of sin, but a person that's saved can still sin. We're right with God, but we can still sin. So when we sin, you know what that sin does? It's the same thing it did before we were saved. It breaks fellowship with God. Therefore, a saved person can be out of fellowship with God. When you get saved, that gives you fellowship with God and opens up an opportunity of fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. After you're saved, it takes confessing our sins to maintain fellowship with God. That's one of the tests that's found in 1 John chapter 1 of fellowshipping with God, confession of sins. If we will learn to confess our sins, we can have fellowship with God. That's one of the tests of fellowship with God, is whether we have known sin in our life. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what happens when you are cleansed from all unrighteousness? You once again have fellowship with God. So we can maintain that fellowship with God. We received fellowship with God when we got saved. But we can break fellowship with God when we sin. Then we must continually maintain that fellowship with God so we can continue to talk with Him and have Him talk with us. So we can fellowship with Him and have Him fellowship with us. If you're married, you have times in your life, in your married life, sometimes when your fellowship is broken. Maybe you've experienced it. I've never experienced it, but I've talked to people that have. and when you're married, you become one flesh. You have fellowship with each other, perfect fellowship, because you become one flesh. Now what happens is, sometime in married life, after that perfect fellowship is there, you'll come walking into the house, and your wife won't talk to you. The fellowship has been broken. Because of some numbskull thing you did. And your fellowship is broken. And you can tell. I mean, there's not that union right now. There's a little broken fellowship there. Things aren't sweet like they were before. It's just not the same when that fellowship is broken. And you can tell. Good night. You can tell when you come home, you can tell if your wife is mad or not. You can tell. My wife's theme verse is, be angry and sin not. That's her life's verse. Are you hearing, sweetheart? What we need to do is we need to restore fellowship with each other. We have wronged one another. We need to restore fellowship. The same thing happens with God. When we got saved, we became one with Him. We became joint heirs with Christ. We became a child of God. And when we sin, that breaks that fellowship with Him, breaks fellowship with God. Therefore, one of the tests of fellowship with God is if we have confessed all known sin. That's one of the tests. You can read that in the book 1 John chapter 1. So it tells us how to know to have sonship and true fellowship. Many people think in this day, they think they're children of God, but they're not. You can find out by the tests of 1 John. Many Christians think they have fellowship with God, but they don't have the true fellowship with God because true fellowship with God is based upon the Word of God. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Without those two things, you can't worship God. You cannot. unless you worship Him in spirit. And God seeks for them that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's the only way to worship God. So many people call worship things other than what the Word of God calls worship. Many people call fellowship things other than what the Word of God calls fellowship. But you can know. I encourage you, in the days to come, to take this book of 1 John and study it. One day we'll study together. But I want you to study the Word of God. Study 1 John. Read through it. Find out what God says about how you can maintain that fellowship with Him. Find out what the Bible says about how you can know that you have salvation. Truly being saved, being born of God. That's what the book will tell us. Many people think they're children of God. Many people think they have fellowship with God. But it's important for us to examine ourselves according to the truths found in the Word of God. Here's one of the key verses of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. It's a key verse of the first section of the book, but it ties into the whole book because sonship, without sonship, you cannot have fellowship. You must have sonship to have fellowship. But not everybody that has sonship has fellowship. You must maintain that fellowship with God. So basically, the theme of the entire book, as you read through it, although it talks much about being a child of God, that's the prerequisite to having fellowship with God. So here's the theme of the book, maintaining fellowship with God. Maintaining fellowship with God. By the way, that's up to us. God, through Jesus Christ dying for us, made fellowship possible for us. We can have fellowship with God. That was up to God to send Jesus Christ. It's up to us to maintain that fellowship, to keep up that fellowship with God. So that's the theme of the book. And 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And that's the theme of the book then, maintaining fellowship with God. Well, there's so much found in the book of 1 John. Those five chapters right there are just loaded with truths. And obviously, in one class period, we could never get into all the truth, but that gives you an idea of what's found in the book, so you can study it on your own and find the great truths that are found in the book of 1 John. One of the great important books that a Christian can read and study is 1 John. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray You'll bless us now. Bless this Bible study this morning. Thank You for the Word of God, the many truths that are found in it. And help us to be faithful to live these truths. Help us to have a desire to fellowship and maintain that fellowship with the Holy God. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start the preaching service in about 15 minutes.